Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
So the NBA's conference finals series get underway tonight. Miami is a 1.5, 2-point favorite, roughly, in game one tonight over Boston. The Celtics coming off that impressive game seven win over the Bucks on Sunday after an incredible game six performance by Jason Tatum on Friday night to force the seventh and deciding game. So tonight, Miami with Jimmy Butler and one of the best coaches in the game in Spoelstra at home, game one against the Celtics. Miami a 1.5-point favorite in that game. Then tomorrow night in the Western Conference Finals, Dallas off that unbelievable blowout win over Phoenix in the seventh and deciding game on the road, winning by 33 points in a game that they led by 46 points. They are a 5-point underdog in game one at Golden State tomorrow night. By the way, I did see, for those that have asked me, I did see in print what Patrick Beverley said about Chris Paul. He said Chris Paul is just not a player that NBA players fear at all. Called him defensively the cone. Said that the nickname among NBA players for Chris Paul's defense is the cone, because a cone doesn't move. And said that there just isn't much fear. Chris Paul was dreadful. He was. And I do think that Chris Paul's window for winning a championship is over. Like, this was the chance. You know, last year in the finals against Milwaukee, and this year is the team's best regular season team and the number one seed. This was the opportunity. You know, you start thinking about the Western Conference in particular. I mean, are they even going to get back to this level next year? You know, Devin Booker had a horrible game. Devin Booker, for those that believe that Devin Booker was starting to push kind of top five status in the league, major setback. 2 points in the first half on 0-for-7 shooting, 11 points for the game in a game seven in which his team had just 50 points at the end of the third quarter. When you think about the West, I mean, you've got Golden State, obviously. You have Dallas with Luka. Even though there's not a lot around them, I mean, they have Luka. You've got Denver, who will be really good, healthy, when Jamal Murray comes back. How about the Clippers with a healthy Paul George and Kawhi Leonard next year, if that were to happen? Minnesota's on the rise. Memphis, obviously, is there. Phoenix, that window just shut. It was a brief window for Chris Paul to win a title, to sort of cement his overall, you know, legendary status. Many have discussed him being an all-time top 5-point guard. That's not what I think. I think he's certainly first ballot Hall of Famer, and you could make the case top 10, but not top 5. He was horrendous at the end of the series against Dallas, and just an absolute sieve defensively, and as the whole team was. That whole team stunk. DeAndre, I mean, if you want to take Ayton and the game that he played in Game 7, 5 points, four rebounds for a guy that many believed was starting to emerge as the best big man or one of the best big men in the game. He's not Embiid, obviously. He's not Jokic. Anyway, so with the conference finals starting, I thought about the four teams that were in it. Miami and Boston in the East, Jimmy Butler being Miami's best player, Jason Tatum being Boston's best player. And then in the West, you've got Dallas and Golden State, Luka Doncic being Dallas's best player, and Steph Curry being Golden State's best player. And I thought about whether or not any one of those four players, if you could make the case that they are the best player in the NBA. I don't know that you can. Not with Giannis and Embiid. I guess LeBron. Durant. I don't know that anybody would make the case that right now, at 23 years old, that Luka Doncic is the best player in the NBA. He's not going to win the MVP. He's not going to be in the top three or four. He wasn't, right? I don't have the... let me pull up the... I should have done this before. The 22 NBA...
Jokic, Embiid, and Giannis were the top three.
What were the top three?
Jokic, Embiid, and Giannis were the top three.
And then what about after that?
I don't know. I only saw the top three.
Okay. So... here are the full voting results. Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, Booker was fourth, Luka was fifth, Tatum was sixth. So I started to think about, like, just at this stage of the NBA playoffs, when was the last time, because the NBA is the sport in which you tend to get mostly predictable results, and the results are driven by having the best player on your team or one of the best five players on your team. In fact, I've already done that exercise many times in the past. The last title won by a team that didn't have an obvious top five NBA player on its roster, the 2004 Detroit Pistons. They had some really good players on the roster. They had Chauncey Billups. They had Rip Hamilton. You know, they had Tayshaun Prince. They had Rasheed Wallace. And I think Wallace still, his career is underrated, the kind of player that he was. They had Ben Wallace on that team. But they did not have an obvious top five player on that team. Every other champion since the 2004 Pistons, it would be almost impossible to say that the championship winner didn't have a top five player on its team. You know, I can go through them real quickly, but if you go, you start last year, Giannis, then LeBron the year before that, Kawhi the year before that, and then Golden State with Durant, you know, Curry. You had certainly a top five player in 2014 with the Spurs, with Duncan, and even with Kawhi at that point. Miami, you had all the LeBron teams. Dallas is the one case you could try to make that Dirk wasn't a top five player, but I think you could make that case that he was. 2004 is the obvious last champion that didn't have, you know, a true obvious slash, you know, at least very debatable top five player in the game on their team. So I started to think about the four conference finalists. And if that's true about the NBA champion, then it's probably been a while since we haven't had the best player in the NBA, or somebody you could argue is the best player, not a top five player, but somebody that you could argue is the best player in the game, you know, the first or second best player in the game by most people's accounts, including things like the All-NBA team and the votes on that and the MVP voting. When's the last time the best player in the NBA wasn't in the conference finals? Well, if that's even a question, you first have to answer this. Is the best player in the NBA right now in the conference finals? I say no. As much as I think Luka and Tatum in particular could become that, and I'm a massive Jimmy Butler fan and a huge Steph Curry fan, I think right now you could make the case that the best player in the NBA is not playing in the Final Four. Do you agree with that, Brendan, or not?
Yeah, I mean, the best player in the league is Giannis, and I don't think there's much debate about that. I know Jokic has won the last two MVPs, and he's not in the conference finals. I mean, Steph Curry is probably, if he's not the third best, he's probably, he's definitely top five, and I think Luka is
borderline. Yeah, he's top five. The championship team this year, unless it's Miami, is going to have a very debatable top five player in the game on its roster, which will continue that trend unless it's Miami that wins it. And then Miami, you could make the case, is the first team since 04 Detroit to win it without an obvious top five player, even though Jimmy Butler is terrific. But in the final four, I just went back and just started looking at the final four. When was the last time the final four didn't include the best player in the NBA? It's been a while. All right, last year, Giannis. The year before that, LeBron. That was the bubble. 2019, Giannis and Durant. 2018, LeBron. And then you've just got LeBron for many years in a row, right? 2018, 2017, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, and 11 with Cleveland and Miami. LeBron was in the final four every one of those years. In 2010, you know, you had Kobe and the Lakers in the final four out west. Kobe was clearly, if not the best player in the game, if you thought it was LeBron that particular year, Kobe was certainly in discussion for being the best player in the game. You go back to 2009, LeBron in Cleveland, Kobe in LA. 2008, Kobe in LA. 2007 is the last time, 15 years ago, that you could make a case for the best player in the NBA not playing in the Final Four. You had a very young LeBron James. Remember, this was the series against Detroit when LeBron carried them, remember, in that Game 6. And then they got blanked by San Antonio in the finals. And Duncan was a part of San Antonio. Duncan was an all-NBA first-team player. Dirk was the MVP in 2007. Kobe was a first-team All-MVP, first-team All-NBA. So was Nash. So was Stoudemire. LeBron was on the second team in 2007. He was not the best player or perceived to be the best player in the NBA in 2007. That was his first trip deep into the postseason. And they got completely hammered by San Antonio in the finals. You could kind of make the case that Duncan was one of the best players in the NBA, but it's hard to put him in that era in the same category that maybe some of these other players are. It was more debatable with more players, Kobe, Nash, Dirk, Duncan. That's the last year I can go back and find in which you could make the case that the best player in the NBA wasn't in the Final Four. Duncan was the best player in the Final Four that year. So the question is, Brendan and I have answered it already, but do you believe you could make the case that Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic, or Steph Curry? You really can't make the case on Jimmy Butler, as much as I love Jimmy Butler's competitiveness and clutchness, the way he delivers in the biggest of spots. Giannis, right now, along with Durant, Embiid, Jokic, I don't even want to mention LeBron right now, but they are really the players that you would debate are the best players in the NBA, but maybe some of you feel differently. Is the best player in the NBA, or can you make the case that the best player in the NBA is alive in this Final Four, or is it the first time since 2007 where it's debatable as to whether or not the best player made it to the Final Four? That's the thing about the NBA, man. You got to have the best, or certainly a debatable best, to get to the Final Four. That's why the Wizards have never been to the Final Four. They were close. And teams make it to the Final Four, but you don't make it beyond that very often without having a top five, an obvious top five. But this Final Four may not, and I don't think, includes the best player in the NBA. What do you guys think? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Our Valor Home listener lines are open. Can you make the case that the best player in the NBA is in these final four, among these final four teams? I mean, the case you're going to make more likely than not would be for Luka or Tatum. At this point, Curry's not the best player in the NBA. He's one of the all-time greatest players to ever play the game, but he's not the best player in the NBA. 301-230-0980, or Valor Home listener lines are open. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980. Theteam980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Our Valor Home listener lines are open, 301-230-0980. I think you can make the case that this is the first time since 2007 that the best player in the NBA, or certainly someone you could legitimately debate is the best player in the NBA, is not in the final four of the conference championship series. You've got Miami's best player, Jimmy Butler. He's not the best player in the NBA. Against Boston's Jason Tatum, he is great, and you can certainly argue he's a top five player in the league right now, but he's not the best player in the NBA. You've got Steph Curry in Golden State. Steph is great. Steph is not the best player in the NBA. And you've got Luka in Dallas, and although it may be only, and he may be, like Tatum, only a year or two away from being considered the best player in the NBA, he's not the best player in the NBA right now. You've got to go back to 2007. 2007, Cleveland played Detroit. That was a young LeBron. They got by Detroit and advanced to the NBA Finals against the San Antonio-Utah Series winner, which was San Antonio. And San Antonio blanked Cleveland, remember, in LeBron's first trip to the finals. And while Tim Duncan was a very good player and was an all-NBA first-team player, he finished fourth in the MVP voting. Dirk was the MVP, Nash was second, Kobe was third. Duncan was a really good player, but he probably wasn't the best player in the NBA in 2007. That's really the last time a debatable, obvious top player in the league wasn't in the final four of the NBA playoffs. Do you think that one of these players that's playing right now, you can make the case, is one of the best, is the best player in the NBA? 301-230-0980. Let's start with my man G from the shop. G, what's up?
Man, what's up, Ted?
What's up?
Hey, you could argue it all you want, but you know, in my opinion, still, you disrespected him semi, but at 37, 38, Brown averaged 30, 8, and 6. So I would say, no, the best player ain't there. And he did that in 56 games, Kev, because he shut it down to preserve the body. Because, you know, five a time undefeated. He getting ready for next year. He seen that AD wasn't going to work. All that Russell Westbrook wasn't going to work. So he shut it down. But it, to me, Embiid was the best player in the league, and he should have got MVP because he was dominant like Shaq, but with handles and a jumper. And I think that's what you're saying. The league is loaded because KD and Kyrie is the best one-on-one offensive players in the world. You got Jimmy Butler, who looking like a modern day, not because he shoot the ball, but Reggie Miller in the playoff clutch player. That's why Jimmy Butler, he needed me in the convo because he turns up in the playoffs when it counts.
He does, but he's not the best player in the NBA. And you wouldn't come close to making the case that he is. He won't make the All-NBA first team.
He goes at the best NBA player in the playoffs like he's better.
I love him.
Jason Tatum, you definitely could because when I watch him, they were talking about Devin Booker last year. I see more Kobe moves in Jason Tatum than anybody in this world, but there will never be no Kobe. But Tatum and Brown at 24, 25, I've been saying they're the poor man's Michael Jordan and Pippen, man. Don't sleep. They could get it this year. But Luka, Luka, 23 years old, yes, he's in the convo because I've been saying for years, he shoots the ball better than your boy, Kev Magic. He handles it better than Bird.
He shoots the ball much better than Magic.
But, I knew you were going to get mad. Hey,
I mean, Magic's my all-time favorite, you know that, but Magic was not a great shooter, ever.
Hey, last year, watching really, last year and the year before, before he is doing what he's doing now, Luka, I said, he is a top 25 talent that I've ever seen play basketball. So, yeah, I think Luka might, anybody that says Luka is the best in the world, you got an argument right there.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, if Kawhi had been healthy last year or this year, I mean, they shut down Luka twice, right, back-to-back years. And so I'm not even ready, as much as I love Luka, and I agree, he is one of the most gifted players we've seen come along in a long time. But if Kawhi had been healthy the last year and a half, Kawhi would still be ahead of Luka in terms of being, you know, a debatable best player in the game. And I wouldn't debate Kawhi being the best player in the game above Giannis or Jokic or Embiid, and probably not LeBron. Because you want to give LeBron current props, which is fine, but Kawhi's in that conversation of the top five in the game when he's healthy.
And real quick, because Brendan said that Greek Freak, no disrespect to him, but he's dominant. I watch him; he has zero moves. He plays bully ball.
Who?
He's like
I didn't hear you say.
He's talking about Giannis.
Oh, okay.
Greek Freak. He's the modern-day Will Chamberlain, man, because he just bullies people. He just bullies people. There's no moves or nothing, but he's dominant. And with Steph, you can't say that he is the best. He just ain't back in playing form because he did change the whole game with that three ball, and they could steal another championship too. So, it's loaded with talent, man. NBA is fantastic, Kevin.
It's very good right now in terms of the talent. It's crazy. Thanks,
Kevin, real quick. Yeah. I have to respond to you. You said that Kawhi Leonard shut down Luka Doncic in the playoffs in those two series.
Well, in the one series.
Okay.
When they put him on Luka. Luka had a foot. No, trust me. I know what Luka did points-wise. But pull up some of the key games when Kawhi went for 45 in the closeout game at Dallas. See what Doncic shot in that game.
Okay.
Because Kawhi was going two ways in that game.
For the series, in his second year, the first year they faced the Clippers, he went 31-10-9.
Yeah, I know.
On 50% shooting.
I know.
Second
he had some
year, he
great
went
games.
36 points, 8 rebounds, and 10 assists.
Give me the closeout game where Kawhi went for 45 in the final. And tell me, because he ended up picking up Doncic in the second half. And really
Doncic
did a number on him
46
defensively. 46
points in the game
what
seven.
What did he have?
Doncic had 46 points in game seven.
In game seven?
Yes.
That wasn't the game I'm talking about, though. That was because that's the game that Kawhi didn't play. Kawhi didn't play that game. He was hurt for that game. That's the playoffs he got hurt and was out.
He was in that game
I'm talking about
42 minutes.
Say again?
He was in that game and played 42 minutes.
What about the game six closeout? Was it game six or game five where he kept him alive?
In 2020?
Which one?
In 2020 where Kawhi played and Doncic had 38 points.
Did he have 38 in that game?
Yeah.
Okay, what did he have in the game before that?
It was a blowout, so he only played.
There were a couple of games in which Kawhi shut Doncic down in the playoffs. I can't remember specifically what games,
but
if you go through.
He didn't do it for an entire series.
I didn't say he did it for an entire series.
You did.
But in key spots.
You said he did it in two straight playoffs.
In two straight playoffs, there were several big games in which Kawhi shut Doncic down.
In maybe a game, because he averaged 31 and 36.
I'm pulling it up right now because I want to debate you on this because
I mean,
you might be right, but this is my memory.
The two games
this
you
is
brought
my
up
memory
are
it.
Not true.
2019-2020.
Just
okay.
Take the L on this,
that's
please.
That's bubble, right?
Yes.
That's bubble. Okay, so Kawhi played in those games.
He played in both series.
Doncic had 13 in a 130-122 loss to the Clippers on a Friday night. Doncic had 13, was 4 of 14
okay.
in that game. Doncic in a 154-111 loss in game five, okay, in a 2-2 series, was 6-17 from the floor, 1-6. These are the games that I'm thinking about. If you go back and you
singular
look at those
games in a series that you said he was shut down, which he wasn't shut down.
Okay, so I'm going to amend that. Relax. Okay. I'm amending that. Kawhi in the big spots in those series shut down Doncic. I just gave you game 3-1-1, and Doncic had 13 points on 4 of 14. I bet if you go back and look at that stretch, which was a competitive game, it was Kawhi's defense. If you go back 154-111 in a 2-2 game 5 series, Kawhi had 32. Doncic in that game shot 6 of 17 and went for 22 points. He frustrated Doncic in those series multiple times, Brendan. I remember it specifically because I was already becoming a big fan of Doncic, even though I hated the complaining, some of the complaining. But you could tell his greatness. If you go back and look, let's see if Kawhi was still playing in this. So last year, before he tore the ACL,
he played in the entire series.
No, he didn't. He didn't play in game seven.
I just told you he played in game seven.
Kawhi did?
Yeah. In 2021, in game seven against the Clippers.
When did he tear the ACL? Was it in that game? Or was he playing on the torn ACL in that game?
He played 42 minutes.
Yeah.
Doncic had 46 points, 14 assists.
Yeah, he was phenomenal in that game that they lost. They lost that game.
Again, you said he shut him down.
Well, I gave you two or three games from the previous year that he shut him down.
Two games. So, you said two series.
Okay. Are we going to take everything that we both say literally?
You do. I am holding you to that standard.
How much older is Deron Payne?
I am holding you to
Payne?
Your Sheehan standard.
How much older is Phil Mathis than Deron Payne?
He's a year older than him.
Okay. I thought we went back and we corrected that.
Yeah, I said Mathis was older. He's a year older than him.
Right. Okay.
Or 8 months older than him.
Bones, go ahead. Can you make the case that the best player in the NBA is still playing?
Good morning, Kevin. Check it out, man. Right now, the best player is not playing in these games right now until Tatum or Doncic, you know, are able to strap a team on their back and take them all the way to win a championship. They would not be the best player in the postseason, right? And now, for me, that's, you know, last year, Giannis, you know, took the Bucks and strapped them on his back, and they won the championship. You and G from the shop, y'all made some good points, right? You know, but until a player can strap a team on their back like LeBron, Steph, Michael Jordan, Kawhi Leonard, you know, and win the championship, they would not be the best player in the league. You know, and that's my point of view from right there, you know.
Jokic and Embiid have not strapped a team to their back and won a title yet, and you could make the case that certainly Embiid is, you know, right there with Giannis. Giannis and Jokic is the best player in the league. You could still make the case that Durant is the best player in the league, and Durant hasn't strapped a team to his back and won a title. He was part of a great team that won two titles. So I hear what you're saying, but I don't know that Doncic or Tatum need to strap a team to his back and win the title to be considered the best player in the game currently. Doncic, I just don't think they're there yet. I think Doncic, actually, I think they're both equal in terms of how close they are right now to being, you know, a year or two away from being considered or being debated to be one of the best, if not the best in the game. I think Tatum is spectacular. I love Doncic, too.
I agree with you, right?
Say again?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Kevin. And, you know, Doncic, for me, Doncic, that's the next live bird. And when he does strap a team to his back and win a championship, you can put him in that live bird mode. But right now, you know, they're just in the making. Hey, Kevin, I appreciate you guys, man. Thanks for taking my call. I love you, too, man. Peace.
Appreciate it. You know, the bird comparisons, I get it. You know, remember, Bird was bigger, 6'9". Bird was a better passer than Luka. But I get it stylistically, you know, the lack of elevation, the lack of explosiveness, the incredible shooting ability, which Bird had it as well. There are a lot of similarities in the game, definitely. Luka's a little bit punchier and paunchier around the waist. I think maybe even a little bit slower than Bird. Bird was able to really use size along with the, you know, the old man clever up and unders, and lots of ways to score. Luke is brilliant as a scorer. He's brilliant. I think Bird was a better passer. And I think Bird at times, as much as he is remembered as being a small forward, you could post Bird up a lot more than maybe even Luka. They're similar, though, in style. I'm not gonna argue that. Let's go to Derek. Derek is calling from Camp Springs. Derek, go ahead.
Hey, Steph Curry is the best player in the NBA. He changed the game with shooting the basketball. Nobody can shoot better than Steph Curry. The game does not score 50 points like Giannis and bully through. And you can't win the championship like that. He missed Middleton. I actually asked the guy, you know, who was going to win the Boston and Milwaukee series, and he thought Milwaukee. But I knew instantly Boston would win because Middleton is like, you need Middleton. You need a shooter. You know, you can't score. You're not going to beat a three-point shot with 2 points. You're not going to do that. And I think this may be this topic.
You can't do it except for the time that he did it.
Yeah, but he had
Middleton.
Yeah. And he also had PJ Tucker, which I think was missing from this past series.
I want to agree with Brennan real quick. Doncic is unstoppable. Nobody can stop Doncic. All right, he slows the game down like he in the Matrix.
Kawhi did in a couple of games in the one series back in 2019.
Well, no, as I'm saying though, if he's doing it by himself, if he can beat Golden State. Now you have a conversation about, is he the best basketball player in the NBA?
Yeah. But
if he can beat Golden State,
if he beats Golden State, and then let's say he beats Miami in the finals, will we say in hindsight, as I just did going back to 2007, that this was a year in which the best player in the NBA was playing in the Final Four? I don't think we will. I think it'll be the coming out party for Doncic in terms of playoffs and winning and advancing, as he already has, to the conference finals with, by the way, an unbelievable, memorable Game 7, which only took him three quarters to put away, you know, a humiliated Phoenix team. But I think we, as we're sitting here right now, the best player in the NBA is not playing in the Final Four for the first time since 2007. I love Luka, and it may be easy next year to say it. It might be easy next year to say that Tatum, you know, is the best player in the game. Although as long as Giannis is there, I will disagree with Brendan on a lot of things, but I think right now if I could pick one player to have on my team in the NBA, it would be Giannis. You do have to surround Giannis with things, and he missed Middleton a lot. Yeah, I think he missed P.J. Tucker a lot. I think that they had clearly too much put on them defensively as a team to shut down a team that made 22 threes in Game 7. And a tough guy like Tucker being on that team would have helped. But they clearly missed Middleton. Let's also not forget that Giannis did have his team up 3-2. When we had Legler on the show last week or the week before, we were talking about he picked Milwaukee, but he was hesitant to do it. And I picked Boston, and I said, Middleton's got to be healthy. And I thought that Boston had too much firepower. And I think they've got too much firepower for Miami. But then you'll get firepower versus firepower in a series against Golden State if we see that. Let's go to Ken. Ken's on hold. Ken, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. You know what? I keep hearing a lot of talk about Jason Tatum. I like him. Too inconsistent for me. I mean, you look at his numbers during the year, he can drop 40 on you. Then two games later, he doesn't even show up. But I like Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler can fit on any team. because he has that savvy way of scoring. And you put him on Philadelphia's team, they win. They probably would win it all. But no, there's not a top player in this Final Four. No.
Well, there's a top five player, debatably. There just isn't the best player in the game in this Final Four.
I still put Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James up there as a top player and a Greek freak. You know, the elimination of them takes him out of that. But with Golden State, their collective unit, they can't literally do it without each other. Then they have the emerging, their bench is starting to emerge as one of the top deep benches that's in the league right now.
Otto Porter.
And the thing about it, they're young players. Huh?
Has Tatum had a bad game in the postseason? Like, I'm looking up there. They played the close loss to Milwaukee when you had all those tip-ins, including Horford's tip-in after the buzzer in the 103-101 loss in Game 3. He only had 10 points, and he was 4 for 19.
Yeah, and
but for the most part, Tatum's been brilliant and consistent in the postseason.
Yeah, he has. And I see some Kobe-ish. But like G in the shop, there'll never be a Kobe. But it's just the thing. It's just something about Tatum to me is missing, and he's young.
What's missing? I'm curious as to what you think's missing.
It's just that drop off. Like he'll have a very good game, and then you don't see him the next game, and that's not someone like Kobe. There wasn't a drop off with him. He's going to drop it on you the first, the second, third, whatever. If you're on an opponent team, you're defending him, or you're going to let him get his because he's going to get his.
During their run, you know, after they got a little bit healthier and they made that late season run by winning a ridiculous number of games, there was no inconsistency or drop-off from Jason Tatum in a game in the month of March. Like, I'm looking at every single game he played. He shot 53.8% from the floor, 44.7% from behind the arc, averaged 32.8 points per game, 6.5 rebounds, 5 assists over that month when they only lost 2 games. He had a 54-point game, a 44-point game, 5-plus 30-point-plus games. He was incredible during that stretch, and he's been very good in the postseason. Again, he's not the best player in the NBA, but I guess I just disagree with you that there's a lack of consistency with Jason Tatum, at least over the last third of the regular season and into the postseason. When we come back, I wanted to mention something that Ben Standig had in his Athletic column yesterday, where he kind of answered the question as to who the hell Jack Del Rio was talking about when he said that some of the defensive backs were absent from some of the offseason activities last year. We'll get to that, and then Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus will be with us. We'll circle back to the NBA conversation with Chris Miles at 8:30. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
So, about a week and a half ago, Jack Del Rio did an interview with Julie Donaldson for the team's website. And he turned heads when he said the following. He said, "This time of year when you can slow it down, explain exactly where you belong, how it all ties together, how we need to communicate on certain adjustments, certain formations, certain shifts, motions, that is critical right now. I was disappointed last year when we did not have full participation. I thought it contributed to us having a poor year in the back end because it's all about the back end as to how well you play and how good, how great your defense is. You've got to cap things. You've got to understand where you belong and be there and just make your plays, not to look back and make excuses and worry about it. But I feel much better about what we're doing now, the work we're putting in, the focus, the energy, the effort, the commitment. Those things pay off. There's no shortcut to success. Closed quote. So that those comments a week and a half ago were a little bit new in that he pointed to the back end of, you know, secondary players that, as he said, he was disappointed that he didn't have full participation. And he thought it contributed to their poor pass defense, basically, which, you know, he thinks is a big part of it is the back end. And we all kind of said, man, the only player we thought was actually missing from OTAs was Chase Young. He was the focus of those OTA days, and he was the only player out of the 90 under contract that never showed up for one day. So the thought was, well, who were the secondary players that were missing from OTA days? Well, Ben Standing in his column yesterday on The Athletic cleared some of that up. He wrote, Ben did, Del Rio's reference was not about phase three. Phase three for Washington is the phase which includes the OTA days and the mini camp, which is the on-the-field stuff. According to a source Ben wrote yesterday, the mention was about last year's phase two, where there was not full participation from cornerbacks and safeties. Phase two essentially is, as Ben described, walkthroughs where the coaches dive into the playbook and game plan with players lined up. You know, per the NFL NFLPA website, coaches are allowed on the field. Teams can run individual and what they call perfect play drills, but no offense versus defense or one-on-ones and no helmets. Phase two is kind of what they just went through recently when they had workouts. And so last year, Del Rio was not referring to players that missed the OTA days. The only player that didn't post for one OTA day was Chase Young. 89 out of the 90 posted for at least one. Young was the only one that didn't. So every single secondary player posted for OTA day, either a day or days plural. But it's the phase two that Ben's source said Del Rio was referring to, and that apparently is a very important time for coaches. And so he was disappointed that several corners and safeties weren't participants. Now, which players? Ben writes, it's unclear which players skipped those voluntary workouts. Collins, as in Landon Collins, was recovering from an Achilles injury, and Bobby McCain signed on the final day of phase one, which was a 9-week program centered on strength and conditioning. Washington also integrated William Jackson as a free agent signing and third-round pick Benjamin St. Juice. Del Rio said in the interview he feels much better about this year's participation, a point reiterated by Ben's source. So, netting it out, last year in phase two, which is kind of an important voluntary phase for the coaches, a bunch of secondary players didn't show up, and Del Rio essentially used that stretch of the offseason as one of the reasons, you can call it an excuse, for how bad the pass defense was last year. No specific names as to the players that were missing. But Landon Collins was missing, obviously, because he, you know, he was still coming off an Achilles injury. Although, again, there was no, you know, there was no offense versus defense. There was no contact. There was no helmets. So it's possible that he could have been there. Anyway, I don't know how many people that's interesting to. You know, at this point, the discussion of all of this stuff, you know, who they drafted, who they didn't draft, who they signed, who they didn't sign, you know, this is a put up or shut up season for the football operation, which I think we can all agree has improved from both a roster management standpoint and probably even from a coaching standpoint over the last couple of years versus what was here more recently. Now, I don't know, maybe some of you would say that Kyle Smith was better at roster, at creating a roster. But in terms of the kind of players and the culture and the locker room guys and the maturity that they're looking for, I feel personally, as an observer, much better about what they have on the football operation side. But there's been a lot of discussion about how last year they were close and how without the COVID outbreak in December that maybe they would have made a deeper run. Maybe that four-game winning streak would have turned into something much better. They were healthy for the Dallas game, and they were down 27-6 in the fourth quarter, even though they got the ball back down 7 and had a chance on that deep throw from, there at the end of the game from Kyle Allen to DeAndre Carter, right? It was Carter who dropped that deep ball when he was open. I think it was Carter. And it was Allen who clearly threw it in that game against the Cowboys. But they got their ass kicked pretty much by Dallas in that game. They really did. Now, would they have been more ready for Philadelphia twice with more players on the field and more time to rest for the Dallas game the night after Christmas? Yeah, I still don't think that they were headed to the playoffs down the stretch, but they would have played better. They may have won another game. Maybe they would have finished 8-9, instead of 7-10. But they think they're close. They drafted and they acquired here in the offseason for this coming season and maybe the year after. There is a sense of urgency, certainly from the business side, to get it done now. I think the football people feel some pressure, not because they'll get fired if it doesn't work out, but Ron's put, some expectations on year 3 of a 5-year rebuild. And, what we've heard from Ron is much more optimism heading into this season than last season. There were several warnings from Ron last year. Especially when we got to training camp. I remember him saying the biggest concern was maturity and understanding that last year was last year and this is a completely different year. And last year making the playoffs was nice, but it also may have been misleading. He kind of admitted that. He didn't up the bar. He didn't raise the bar expectation-wise last year. But I do feel like he is doing that. And maybe Del Rio, with some of these comments about how much more pleased he is with the offseason participation, that he's upping that bar a little bit. And then you get to the schedule. My God, if they don't start off 2-0, well, you can throw in the towel because the NFL gave him a 2-0 start. Chris Miles, I had it backwards. Chris Miles from NBA TV is going to join us next, and then Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus will join us after that. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.